I open the General Council meeting. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I advise everyone that the meeting will be recorded for audio and that will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask any elected members if they foresee a conflict of interest with any of the items on the agenda. There being none, we'll keep moving along. I'm asking for someone to move that we confirm the minutes for the council meeting held on the 27th of September. It's moved Councillor Valescu and seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we proceed to a deputation. Do we have Mrs. Nadine Tapley in the gallery? Please come forward. We'll find a seat for you up the front. And you're going to tell us about Lapwing Street Reserve. We've noted the, we can see in the agenda, an extensive petition. And you have 5 minutes to tell us about the community's use of the reserve. Go ahead.
Thank you. Firstly, I'd just like to mention that with the Lapwing Street Reserve play equipment that's due to be removed, community consultation by way of the flyer, it was not very widespread, and it was only, to my knowledge, received by residents that bordered the play area, and the equipment was not 20 years old, as we have lived in Lapwing Street since 2007. We chose to live in Lapwing Street, our family, because the play area is used and enjoyed by a lot of children. In circulating the petition, I received a lot of support from many families who were young couples planning to have children, had young children, older children, or were grandparents with visiting grandchildren who valued the current play space that we have there at Lapwing Street. I feel that we need to retain the smaller play equipment parks in our community and not just upgrade the larger play areas. The larger play areas, people find it difficult to park there. The larger groups also have teenagers and toddlers that mix different groupings there, and the smaller play areas provide a variety of different and unique play equipment to use, and they're diverse. The equipment also in our Lapwing Street Reserve, we have a few families that have children with disabilities and they find it beneficial and therapeutic to use. I've spoken to two councillors, Ian Crossland and Tim Gard, in recent weeks over the phone about this issue, and I thank them for their interest. Tim Gard came out to the reserve in mid-September to view the equipment condition himself, and it is safe and serviceable, meeting its needs at present. We feel to replace the equipment with trees and logs, it's an unnecessary council expense and invites unsavoury individuals to loiter in the area and increasing littering and graffiti. And I'd just like to conclude by saying to council that we do value our play equipment space in Lapwing Street Reserve and would like to keep the play equipment there as a permanent fixture and have it included on the list for upgrading and not for permanent removal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Tapley. You've finished under time, so that allows members to ask any questions if they wish. Well, there being none, I think you've described the situation perfectly well, and so... Oh, there is one. I beg your pardon. Councillor Valescu.
Thanks, Your Worship. I was just wondering if you were... with your discussions, given whether you told, if there was the option to keep any of the equipment there for the end of its useful life, So at least extend the period as to which this equipment can stay, or were you advised otherwise whether it can't stay or not?
As far as my knowledge goes, the flyer did indicate that the equipment was over its usable time of 20 years, which I don't believe is correct. I think it had a small upgrade in approximately 2009, but it is a lovely play area, and I was just going to perhaps add there is a few other parks. One's off of Valkyrie Street, I think, over near the Cove Road, which is the size of one house block, which I don't know how much use that is getting, but I feel to remove equipment from a larger playground that gets a lot of use, as the petition demonstrates, would be quite a shame.
Take your place in the gallery again, and we'll move on to our business. It won't be long before we get to... I thought there was a motion to deal with it. Oh, yeah. It's just a petition. No, we'll get straight on to our item of business on page 43, which is the petition to which I referred earlier. And with that, there are a couple of potential options. I had thought there was a potentially a further option of simply doing nothing for a period of time, but of course that depends on whether it would be unsafe to just leave things as they are. Could I ask Ms. Dixon, look, if we simply came back to this issue in 3 years, for example, and left the existing equipment where it was, what would be the problem with that?
Through the chair, if council wishes to retain it, what we would recommend is that we do an annual audit of that to check the safety. So we could arrange for that to happen and just assess it on a year by year basis. In 2011, the advice that we got was that in 2017 it would reach the end of its useful life. But we could keep assessing that on a yearly basis to ensure that the play space remains safe and to do any maintenance work that was identified as part of that assessment.
Well, if I could, Ms. Dixon, if I could take you to page 64 of the agenda, so that's Appendix 3. It has a number of photographs of the various items of play equipment, and it's not apparent to me that there's anything really unsafe or broken, but I'm not an expert. Is there something dangerous there we should be looking at?
Through the chair, so the images were provided to show there is rusting. So if you look at the joists on the second row, two photos in, that's showing rusting there. In the top two images to the right, you can see there's rusting on the swing and some rusting on the chains holding the swing at the top. So there is signs of deterioration due to age, but if council wishes to retain it, what we would need to do is just, what we recommend is to do that annual assessment to make sure and identify any maintenance works that's needed.
Okay, thanks. Now look, I just raised that for members because it's sort of a middle way in the sense that staff have recommended two possibilities: removal, upgrade, but there's no other option. I'm not saying it's the best one, but anyway, I'll leave it to you members to deal with that accordingly. I mean, shouldn't the motion also note the petition? That's what we normally do. So anyway, if anyone would like to go ahead and indicate which motion they prefer, we can just make sure the wording's fine. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, it seems like it's a night for trans barrier, trans area interventions. In this case, I'd like to see this reserve maintained as part of our normal portfolio of playgrounds going forward. In other words, they go back on the schedule of replacement and maintenance, like any other playground.
So just to clarify, in terms of the recommendations on page 44, you're going for the second option. So it's continue to provide a play space essentially putting it on the list of works to be further prioritised for upgrade.
That would be true. If I can speak to it.
Sure. I mean, I'm asking staff, just before you do, sorry to interrupt, but whether staff can advise, should that second part say notes the report and authorises the administration to write the petition? It's sort of inherent, I know, but all right. So, Councillor Hull, if you're happy with that, to move it in that form, that it's the second motion, so the line right down the bottom, in terms of what we're looking at on the big screen, notes the report and authorises to write to the head petitioner. So, Councillor Hull, 3 minutes, go ahead.
Mr Mayor, Councillor Pryor and I have got a playground in our ward that we're looking at disposing of. I won't go into the detail of that, but the difference between the two playgrounds is quite stark. This is an overwhelming petition and contribution by the community to tell us what they want. Why do public consultation if we get feedback like this and ignore it? You know, like we are collectively as a group looking at consolidating our play spaces, okay? And later tonight I'm going to ask you to consider the big one, the destination play space, no matter where that might be. And that's the whole idea of that report, but I'll get to that later. In this particular case, we've gone out for public consultation. We've been blown away with feedback about what the community want, and we should respect that. And that's the whole point of my motion, is to respect the community's wishes, no matter where it is. In the case of the one in the Warrakowie ward, it's essentially the neighbours of the property.
I'm pulling you up on relevance. You need to be talking about the Lapwing Reserve.
But I'm just pointing out the relevance of feedback, community consultation feedback, and the realities of that feedback. So if it was just the neighbours objecting because they liked the idea of the playground next door or the open space next door, that's a whole lot different to what we're dealing with tonight. And that's the relevance I was making. And look, I think there's enough fairness in this group to actually reassure the community that their play space is safe.
Seconded, Councillor Gard. Do you wish to speak?
Your Worship, I wasn't intending to second that particular motion. I wanted to...
When you put your hand up with two fingers in the air, I must have misinterpreted it.
Very sorry. as they say in the classics, timing is everything, Your Worship.
If you don't want to second it, then don't.
I wasn't responding to a request.
Were you asking a question?
I essentially am, yes.
Please, if it is a question, then please go ahead.
Yep. The question is, I'll put the question first, unlike my usual approach. The question is it true that to maintain, in inverted commas, the Lapwing Reserve playground equipment would cost us $2,000 a year, either notionally or in exactly? That's the figure.
Yes,
that
one of the staff may be able to assist with that. Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, so it's approximately $1,800 per annum in maintenance costs. If we were to also do that independent assessment to which we're recommending every year to ensure it remains safe, that could be up to an additional $1,000 as well per annum.
now. Is there someone to second the motion? Councillor Westwood, thank you.
Yes, in general, first off, I thank Councillor Hull for moving this. I generally would like to maintain as many play spaces as possible as a contribution to our efforts to have the members of the community as fit as possible and active and coming out of their houses. I'm one of them, of course, that needs that. I do think that play spaces are important, and also I would have to agree with Councillor Hull that the number of people who petitioned certainly is a significant indication of what community wishes are. There are surveys that we've had in the past where only a few hundred people have responded to an output of something like 2,500 questionnaires, and we go on that kind of expression of, you know, 300 or 400 or 300 odd people. So this is a direct expression on one particular issue, and we certainly should take note of it. So I'm happy to second that motion. Thank you.
Is there anyone opposing the motion? Councillor Crossland?
Yes, I've obviously spent a lot of time on this, and I spoke to the head petitioner, and I'd like to thank her for her efforts on this particular issue. I was in a bit of a dilemma with this one. Obviously, my main feature has always been on council to reduce costs and to be fair and equitable. And I've also been very outspoken on when we have a strategy and a policy, all of a sudden we change to make exceptions. Until we get to the stage where we've got that many exceptions, we don't know what the strategy is anymore. So I took the time to visit that park quite a few times. I wasn't lucky enough to see anybody using it, but I also visited all the other parks. And for the members that don't know the area, within 350 metres, we've got a linear park with an absolutely stunning, bespoke, neighbourhood-level play space. In fact, I've visited another one which is about 700 metres away, 750. Again, bespoke, designed play space. And not too far away, we have a regional play space at Quailo. So that being said, I decided that I wanted to know a little bit more about the people that signed the petition, because either we've got our strategy completely wrong, or something wasn't right and we needed to stop building big play spaces and maybe focus on the small ones. But I can tell you of the 11 houses I revisited, 9 of which signed the petition, all of them but one said that they would prefer council to stick with the 500 metre strategy. They preferred the neighbourhood level play spaces and the regional play space. I found a family with young children that said that they don't use Lapwing, it's too small, no shade, and they prefer social interaction with other children. I found 2 teenagers, quite surprisingly, they didn't even like our neighbourhood one, they go to the regional one. They'd never use Lapwing, never would. And on that basis, on the 20 people I revisited, the 11 houses, all of them actually told me to stick with the strategy and go with the 500 metre policy. They didn't want us putting neighbourhood level or returning to local level play spaces throughout council. So on that basis, I am actually going to vote in the negative on this motion, because I'm actually supporting residents' views.
Is there anyone else speaking in support of the motion? Question from Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Worship. Through you, one to the administration. Look, I note that there's 4 play spaces within 1,200 metres of this particular play space. My question is, have all of these been redeveloped in recent years under the current play space strategy? I know obviously Glade has, that was only about 3 years ago. I can't recall whether the other 3 have. So first question, have they all been redeveloped, the 4 within 1,200 metres? And secondly, were the budget allocations attributed to the development of these other 4 play spaces predicated on the fact that there would be a reduction in, well, there wouldn't be a redevelopment at Lapwing, and there would also be a reduction in operating costs associated with Lapwing. Thank you.
Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, Mr. Green might better answer that more detailed question.
Through the Chair. In response to the first question relating to the upgrades of local play spaces or in the vicinity, I can confirm that Glade Crescent Reserve play space is upgraded in 2012 and Linear Park was upgraded in 2013. Oakvale was upgraded 2015. Correction. Oakvale is still to be upgraded.
And there was also Olivier Terrace. So just to confirm, all but one of those within 1,200 metres have been redeveloped, and the fourth one is scheduled for redevelopment in the not too distant future. Is that correct?
Oakvale, yes.
Yeah.
That's still on the list.
And the budget allocation that we would have given to those other play spaces, one of which I believe, from recollection, Glade was over $1 million. The budget allocation would have been predicated on the fact that we weren't upgrading Lapwing, and that decision would have been made 7 years ago as part of the replace space strategy. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is there anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Valescu.
We have an amendment. Which was the compromise position that we hold on to the current playground for as long as it is safe to do so, and then we reassess the demand once the playground actually is no longer usable.
I'm going to rule out that amendment as out of order because I see it as inconsistent with the motion, which clearly aims to do something else. So of the three options I outlined earlier, I think all of them are taking somewhat different directions. So what I'd suggest, Councillor Vescu, the idea is valid in itself, but if this motion is defeated, there'll be the opportunity to move a further motion rather than moving on to the next item of business, so you can keep it in reserve.
Point of order, Your Worship.
Point of order.
It's not actually a direct opposite, though, is it?
I suppose that's a. I'll take that as a question. It's inconsistent because Councillor Hull's motion calls for an upgrade, and Councillor Valescu's motion doesn't. So, to that extent, they are contradictory. Councillor Valescu?
By any potential upgrade or... I guess if we can keep the park there until it's no longer usable, we can reassess it, because we have two conflicting sources of information from what the petitioner and what the local councillor has about the actual demand, so it's probably good to do an assessment to see whether it is something that people want or otherwise.
Well, is that your comment in the debate?
I could comment on this. I've had a situation in my ward where there was stuff scheduled under the schedule to be removed in a local park, and local residents wanted to keep it. They had some attachment to it. So there were upgrades nearby, and what I had told those residents is that, look, as long as it's safe to be there, we will keep it. But once it is no longer safe, it will be removed and it won't be replaced because we're doing other things in other areas. And they accepted that. And what the residents' concern was that they saw a perfectly good playground being removed that they can't use for what was not a real reason but a notional reason. So I think in this case, I wouldn't want this to be removed until it needed to be. Going down the path of building a new, upgrading the reserve, it appears to me that the information may not be clear as to whether we need to do that. So that's why I did suggest that we hold on to it for as long as we can and then make that decision. So we can't be accused either way when that decision is made that we didn't assess the facts properly. The petition to me indicates that there is a fair bit of local attachment to that, and if people are using it, then that's what we want people to do. So, I guess I'd like that option.
Now, I wouldn't normally go back to someone who's already spoken, but you had a question, Councillor Crossland.
It's a question that may assist elected members, and I wholeheartedly agree with Councillor Valescu regarding taking out vacant spaces that are still usable, but maybe staff could just clarify that in our ward briefing we were told that this play space has an engineer's report saying that this year it has to come out, it's reached the end of its life.
Well,
I think that was
just to answer that, Ms. Dixon gave you the information before in answer to one of the Mayor's questions that the report, the audit report a few years ago, 2011, said that 2017 would be technically the end of the useful life of the playground. So it's not based on a current danger as such, but it's the notional end of life.
Would Ms. Dixon be able to just clarify when that was last, had the engineers inspect it then?
Last inspection?
So there was a further order in 2014 that confirmed that in 2017 it was due for replacement and reach the end of it.
Right. To get on with the debate, is there anyone else speaking against the motion? Then I'll give the mover a right of reply. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, there's been some interesting comments that we've somehow broken away from an agreement of a strategy. Well, let me assure you, we in the Warrikowie ward have been meeting that commitment and that strategy with vigour. Louise Avenue Reserve has already lost its play space, and there's another one we're looking at, possibly more. There is low-hanging fruit, members, that we can actually deal with to meet our plan to actually consolidate our open space, our play spaces, provide, use the money to provide better amenity, maybe buy more open space like we did in the north of the city recently with Jobar Reserve. And the community appreciate that. You know, I've been involved in this so-called strategy since the 1990s, and it's working quite fine, thank you. The other thing is that part of the strategy with our community, you know, we're not some listed company that we're doing our own thing. We're actually responding to the community. We're community leaders, and part of that, no matter what strategy we come up with, embedded in that is community consultation. Why do the leaflet drop and put the sign up at the reserve if we get that feedback and we just go, sorry, we're not interested? Now, this particular reserve, if you look at that whole area down there, the way it was developed is one sheep paddock after the other, and you can easily see from the photographs that this area was developed and this area was set aside as the developer contribution. And the council then put a play space on it because of the new families and everything. Now, let me tell you, since those homes were built, there's new families moving in. There's a generational change, if you like. And guess what? They'll need a play space. Now, to walk the distances, as you can see on page 62, I think is a bit of an ask. You know, several blocks. Now, from where I live in the north, you can walk half that in a number of directions to get to a play space. Why would you deny that to your people in the south? Why do we pick a fight with our community unnecessarily when there's other areas that we can look and target to actually consolidate? We don't need this. This is why councils get a bad name, Mr. Mayor, because we take on the community in this way.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against. The vote is tied. I give my vote in favour of the affirmative. I think in this case there's been a clearly demonstrated community need for continuation of the play equipment at the reserve, and although I would have been happy to just allow the status quo to continue for a bit longer, given the prediction of doom for 2017, it makes sense to go with an upgrade. So I declare the motion carried. Division is called. All those in favour of the motion, please stand in your place. Those in favour, Councillors Pfeiffer, Pryor, Hull, Westwood and Valescu. You can sit down, thanks. Those against, councillors, you just stay seated, it'll be all of the rest of you. Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson, Byram and Crossland. The vote is tied at 5-all. I declare my vote in favour of the affirmative. So the motion passes on the casting vote. Thank you. So obviously the head petitioner will be formally advised, but Mrs. Tapley, you've witnessed democracy in action. You're free to go. We have several hours ahead of us, but we won't mind if you do wish to take your leave, but you're very welcome to stay as well. Councillor Westwood.
Query. Did you suggest that we should have a motion to note the petition?
That was included in the motion that was passed. Thank you. Now, next on the agenda, we have committee reports, but we do have a special guest this evening, and with your leave, I would invite her to speak to us first. Our Young Citizen of the Year, Charlotte Rayner, has been invited to address us. Several months ago, she was so impressive as a winner of Marion's Young Citizen of the Year recognition that I suggested to staff that she be invited to speak to us to present a young person's point of view, which I know that she can do very eloquently. So if I have leave of the meeting, we'll just jump past the committee reports and come back to them, and I'd invite Charlotte Rayner to come forward now and address us for 5 minutes. Thanks, Charlotte. Ms. Dixon will just give you a hand at the microphone to make sure that's on.
Okay, so hello everyone. I'm Charlotte Rayner and I had the honour of being Young Citizen of the Year for Marion Council for 2016. Like Mayor has said, I've been asked to speak to you tonight to speak about opportunities available to youth in the council, which makes up a large 30% of the community. As a young person in the community, Marion Council gives youth many opportunities to make big ideas and projects into a reality. There are many places to create and find new hobbies and passions, workshops to learn something new, and new spaces to meet and make new friends and share ideas. The City of Marion provides open platforms and promote a forum where young people can safely express passions and find unique individualities. This brings me straight into my first topic of youth opportunities, the youth grants. I had the opportunity to MC an information evening a few months ago and met many aspiring young individuals that all had visions, that needed a little bit of a jump start, and this is what the grants are all about. Youth within this council can apply for a range of different grants, which include projects led by young people, youth achievement, youth development, youth engagement and leadership, youth events, and youth sector and partnerships. From the previous grants that were given out, many great projects will come to life in the next year or so. Big Sunday will be holding 10 to 15 sessions at the Oakland Park Skate Plaza around skateboarding skills, as well as barbecues and DJs. At the same place, Lighthouse Youth Project will hold 11 BMX sessions where leadership and development components will come into this as well. Hallett Cove Baptist Church Adventure Play Space will be built, and a drop-in program will be made for 12 to 19-year-olds, which will be partnered with Hamilton College. These are just some of the great projects Marin Council will see come into action from these grants. On top of that, there is still money left for more youth-led initiative grants, particularly for young entrepreneurs. For a young person to have these opportunities to see their event, organisation, project, etc., come to life would be a great experience. It promotes new skills such as organisation, event planning, confidence, and so much more. I, for one, am so excited to see all these youth projects come to life and in the future. On the topic of social media, the City of Marin Youth Facebook page is a great way for everyone within the community to keep up to date with what's happening in the Council for Youth and projects and events for youth to join in on. Looking through the page, I saw many great events ranging from hip-hop classes, skateboarding competition, arts and crafts, and many, many more. As a young person in the community, I'm very happy to see the range of different workshops and events open for youth to build more skills and make new friends. As youth within this council, I know I'll never get bored, as there is so much going on during school holidays, weekends and youth week. Looking at previous school holiday programs run by Cove Youth Services, young people can take part in kayaking, fishing, live music events, parkour, skateboarding and BMX workshops and discos. An even present event includes a digital treasure hunt. Marin Council has many great spaces for community members to hang out, such as the Marion Library, Cove Civic Centre and Outdoor Swimming Centre. These are all great spaces for youth to make new friends, but also key places for leadership discussions to be held by youth in the area. In conclusion, Marion Council has so many youth opportunities available, from events run and organised by youth with help from the grants, to holiday programs run by Cove Youth Services. There is never nothing on for young individuals in the community. During my research and while living in the area, the biggest thing I've noticed about this council is a large focus on creating and nurturing young leaders. From the many leadership opportunities for young people in this community, youth are able to discover their full potential and find out how rewarding these opportunities are. To wrap up this presentation up, I'd like to thank Marin Council for the large range of opportunities you have made available to encourage the growth of a new generation of strong leaders. Thank you.
Well, before you go, I'll just invite any members if they have any questions. Councillor Gard.
Charlotte, firstly, congratulations. I think it's
Thank you very much.
No small achievement, obviously. My one simple question is, notwithstanding that you have offered your compliments to the City of Marion for what we have done so far to you, do you have one particular thing that you would nominate that we could do more of or introduce that we could think about?
I was thinking about that over the past few days, but for me being a person that likes many opportunities to find new people, I actually don't have any improvements to suggest for this council. I'm also a very active part of other councils through committees and things like that, and I definitely consider Marion to have the most opportunities, especially for me as being a leader, so I don't have any. Sorry.
Right. Well, thank you again, Charlotte, and I invite you to take your place again in the gallery while we get on with the next couple of hours' business. But thanks once again. And just as a general comment, We do have these awards, which are great, to celebrate talented people with leadership ability, both the Citizen of the Year and the Young Citizen of the Year, as well as recognising sports personnel and so on. But I sometimes think that we don't make enough of them once they have that title, and there's a risk, if we're not mindful, that they'll go from year to year and not have made anything of the project. So I'm certainly encouraging staff and members to make more of these people, because they do want to help out and contribute in different ways. So thanks again, Charlotte. We move on. So looking at the committee recommendations, these could be moved as a block from the minutes of the Finance and Audit Committee, Urban Planning Committee and the Strategy Committee, if someone would like to. Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? That's carried. Thank you. Obviously, there are some items that will come back to Council of a more substantive nature. So now we get to corporate reports for decision. Page 91 of the agenda, an update to the 30-year plan for Greater Adelaide, and here there is a suggestion that we write to the Minister with Council's collective thoughts on how the draft 30-year plan might be improved. You'll see the letter as an appendix on starting on page 95. Dealing with the various topics that are there in the 30-year plan. My general observation of the plan is that most of it's actually quite vague and hard to draw a lot from, but there's a knockout single page with six targets, which are interesting targets. The challenge is to understand how they would relate to the City of Marion. One thing that is going to be pursued is asking for assistance in finding out what the benchmarks are for these various targets in Marion itself, so that we can see how we're tracking in respect of the targets that the state thinks are critical for development over the next 30 years. So having said that, happy for someone to move a question. Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. I do have a question. It's regarding Target 5, which is the tree canopy increase of 20%. The question is relating, I believe the 20% is just purely for council areas. That's the first part of the question. It's not involving residential or other areas at all, it's just purely council areas?
Oh no, I think it's actually the whole of the Adelaide metropolitan area. It's not just for council land.
So that was part of my question.
It's for everything Gawler South.
So that leads me on to asking about, and I noted in the letter that is proposed there from yourself, Your Worship, that you mentioned Glenthorne Farm in one instance. I'm wondering whether this is another area under Target 5 that we could be asking about the increase in vegetation for Glenthorne Farm under that target, and what state government are doing to have their parklands like O'Halloran Hill Recreation Park, but also Glenthorne Farm, and what is being done to increase in those areas.
Yes, I mean there's certainly a comment there on page 96 about Glenthorne Farm, and I suppose a fairly diplomatic suggestion that housing would be inconsistent with the targets that the state are setting. I suppose we could use the opportunity to put in a plea for some sort of cooperation with council to achieve our objectives for the land. Can I just ask staff, I know that we've got a time frame. We might have a couple of weeks if there's to be an amendment.
Through the chair, we can include that and to get into the letter. I'm just getting signals from Mr. Hooper, so we can include that into the letter as well and get it in the time frame.
So what I'd suggest is, in moving the motion, that we have point two, that the submission further expand upon the council's aspirations for Glenthorne, so that it can. We don't want to script the whole thing tonight. That's fraught with danger. But if we have the principle there, then the letter can be adapted. And I'll be mindful of council's view on it. Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I do commend you on your and others that may have inputted on your response to this project.
I think Mr. Hoover had a lot to do with it, and probably other staff as well.
Yep.
Yeah, bit of a team effort. Thanks.
It certainly is a very complete document. There was only one area, and I'm just really asking a question of EM's elected members on this. And that is the issue of how traffic and parking are to be addressed in the overall scheme of things, because what seems to be happening in the 30-year plan is that we're looking at the TOD situation where we're trying to get people out of their cars onto public transport, cluster them around transport hubs and etc. But it's not a very. I'm not convinced, put it that way, and I ask other members if they are convinced, as to whether there seems to be much to address the needs for park and ride, for example, or how we are actually, what the strategy is actually going to be to keep people out of their cars. It's one thing to say, well, look, we want them to get onto public transport. Unfortunately, in this city, that hasn't worked in the past. People are not public transport minded. So I think that's my general question.
Councillor Gard, I could assist you rather than going around the table to everyone. This very issue was discussed in the Urban Planning Committee on the 4th of October, and the observation was, I think, generally made that where there was a prediction that some of the student accommodation or residential development close to trains, etc., would need less car parks, it hasn't been proved in reality to be the case. So there probably is scope there to make a point of that. Clearly, the state government view is if you have all of this development near train lines and you've got really good public transport, no, you know, you won't need the car parks anymore, but it seems to be a long way into the future before that becomes a reality. Ms. Dixon,
and, the way the young thing, for example, because it was a good point made in your letter, that the young are still resisting weaning themselves off transport, albeit they have university-style accommodation, etc. So I feel that part of the scheme needs to be to get inside the heads, particularly of that sector, or the young professional executive sector.
Well, Councillor Gard, Ms Dixon's got some more information. Could we go to her for that advice?
So
thanks.
Just through the chair, so on page 98 in the letter, in the fifth paragraph, that issue is raised and highlighted that further consideration is required around that. And the experience has been that it hasn't worked in terms of reducing car parking space.
Yeah, that's right. The paragraph that begins policy 76, if you have a look at that on page 98, it pretty well does capture the point, I'd suggest. But if you would like to see more on that, then by all means, that could be part of the debate. We're still at the question stage. We haven't had a motion moved yet. Councillor Pryor?
I'd like to move the motion, actually, as it was dictated by the Mayor with point two.
Do we have a record of that?
With this.
Okay. All right. So staff will have that typed up and put on the screen shortly. Did you wish to speak to the motion?
Yes, I do. Look, this is a good start from the state government. I think if they're going to provide these targets or are going to encourage these targets, we need to have a uniform way to measure them across our city and other cities. Definitely more information is required, and that's typically what this letter encourages from the state government, so I'm happy to move that also with regard to parking and all those other wonderful devices, we have an urban planning committee, and I encourage everyone to rock up and make their contribution in the urban planning committee, because a lot of this stuff is being followed up through the urban planning committee and in our statements to the minister and things like that. So, thank you.
Seconded, Councillor Byram. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Councillor Byram. So we're having a lot of unanimous votes tonight. On page 102, we're dealing with the Marion Outdoor Swimming Centre. I note that I'll come back to Councillor Blescu in a moment. Councillor, I was just looking at the comment on preliminary investigations. I probably would have said lack of preliminary investigations, but that's just the mayor. Councillor Valescu, away you go.
Look, I'm just moving the motion as is. It's just noting the progress, anything that requires any decision and more information, because there's only been a bit of progress so far, but that's fine. Hopefully we can do something that benefits the pool and also the community, and that we maintain the knowledge of the staff that we have there at the moment.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull.
In speaking to this, Mr. Mayor, I would like us to go forward to the 6th of December with an opportunity for frank and open discussions instead of the confidentiality rulings that prevail with this particular report. I think that would be very useful to actually thrash out what are the realistic options with this pool. Instead of being criticised for making public comments like Councillor Croslin and I were recently, we should be able to talk about this. We don't have to go into details or give costings, but we should be able to talk about it for the public consumption. And, if we don't do that, you'll have my wrath by the 6th of December.
I think the mover and seconder might want leave to amend the motion, because I'm advised that the committee meeting has been moved to the 15th of December. So the 6th should be a 15. So if leave is sought from the mover and seconder, is leave granted? No objections? So that'll be fine. And so it's not strictly speaking an amendment, is it? Leave granted to vary the motion. That's good. Then I put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we come to the tennis and netball review, page 104. A lot of members may not be aware. I called a meeting with regarding this topic, I think it was probably about Friday, a week ago, attended by John Valentine, Abby Dixon, Adrian Skull and Councillor Telfer. I'd invited because of discussions I've had with her. Before I go into that, Councillor Pfeiffer wants to say something.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'd like to declare a perceived conflict on this one. Sorry, I missed the jump at the start of the meeting. I have a close work colleague who is the secretary of one of these clubs, and whilst I can probably argue that I'm safe to be in the room, I think it's probably best for all involved that I leave.
Okay, that's up to you, and your interest will be noted. So the it is significant that I mention that meeting for two reasons. Two of the, without going through it all, two of the points that were made were that there was there had been a proposal that before beginning direct consultation with clubs that we have some sort of informational briefing night for all of the clubs together, and the feedback that I gave staff was that that would do nothing to assuage the anxiety felt by a number of the tennis clubs, which have read in the media about plans to vary the number of courts without having any specifics. So to have a general briefing night which didn't give any specifics, I thought would just in fact accentuate the problem. And I'm glad to say staff have, in the recommendation that comes to you, staff have left that out and just included the proposal to directly communicate and consult with clubs. But of course it's up to you how you wish the consultation to take place. The second point which was raised at the meeting was the fact that this exercise has dragged on for many months. We started talking about this on a formal basis about 6 months ago, and admittedly we have got a draft proposal, we have got information to back it up, but there is still a lot of the clubs that haven't been talked to about what we're thinking at all, or even to gather information from the clubs about what their aspirations are. The biggest problem that hasn't been addressed between that meeting and the recommendation as it comes to you is in terms of the time frames for consultation. So you'll see paragraphs 4 and 5 on page 105. There's a suggestion that further assessment of directions is carried out between now and the end of June next year, and that individual consultation commence by 28th of February 2017. Now, I would have taken several months off each one of those objectives. It was up to me, but it's not up to me, it's up to you. I'm just conscious then that when you move the motion, we haven't really talked about this as a procedural point, but I think you need to advert to the due dates if you want to vary them as part of the motion. It's a bit, I think, of a grey area whether those due dates are part of the motion or not, but we are planning to hold staff to them, so we do need to specify them. So sorry about the lengthy preamble, but it's a complex issue. I'll just take some questions now. Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, Worship. Just a couple of questions regarding the length of time this has taken. I was of the belief this first was presented to Council after a report in 2012, and I thought we were first notified of virtually the same report as I'm looking at now back in 2014. It just seems that we are 2 years down the track nearly, and we're inching slightly forward, but we're not really making a lot of headway. Are you able just to confirm those dates?
Look, I've probably been conservative in saying that we've been dealing with it for 6 months. It's actually gone on for years, but can any staff assist?
I haven't got the exact dates for previous years. I've got the dates of when this council has considered this matter, which first report came in March this year and then came in April. So I can take that on notice and send that by email.
One of the continuing councillors might have some recollection. Councillor Blescu, just on that point. sorry, I was, we're just looking for an answer to Councillor Crossland's question about whether it was dealt with in the last council, but maybe you're not going to get a clear answer on that tonight, Councillor Crossland. So did you have any other questions?
Yeah, just the second question for the staff then, and this has been brought up before. There are quite a few on the list that are already, we've looked at, we've agreed work to redevelop those clubs, spend money on them. It just seems strange that those clubs can't be now taken off the list because we've already made a decision on the future. So to keep them on the list as if we're reviewing them again, I think just might add to the public perception that we are thinking of even those clubs are being looked at when in reality they're not. And I just wondered if maybe that would speed up the process and we could revise those dates.
No, it probably won't help with those dates because the clubs are specified for the consultation and further assessment, and they're not the clubs that you're talking about. So that's those dates blowing out till, sorry, my words, going out to end of June next year don't include the clubs which have a pretty well resolved outcome. But did staff want to comment on that?
Through the chair, so the mayor is correct. The clubs are already a progressed with work that we've put funding in, and they've been successful. It's happening. The purpose of including in that report was just to make sure, you know, that was understood, that that work was progressing. In terms of the six sites which are listed on page 110 of the report, which we're saying will the date of 28th of February, the intent is that is we will, after tonight, we're seeking council's direction, book in as a matter of urgency meetings with those clubs. Where we can progress things before the 28th of February, we would bring that to council. So for some clubs, it might be more complex and there might be a range of matters we need to work through. If there's others that are straightforward, we'll bring that back to council before February. In terms of resolution 4, where we've got the 30th of June, they would be just bringing council's attention. They're the sites that are of the lower priority. It's around working through the community access reports. So again, where we could progress things sooner, we'd bring that back to council. But you know, it may take up till that time to finish that body of work. Yep. There will also need to be information brought to council around the financial implications.
Well, if I can just pursue that then, because you know, I still find it incomprehensible. So, for example, individual recommendation 5, individual consultation with clubs and organisations that use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, basically 6 reserves. Now, most of those clubs would have a monthly committee meeting, for example. So if the staff hit the phones this week, it would surprise me if there couldn't be a committee meeting focusing on the future of their facilities, you know, within a month or so. And if it's just missed a committee meeting, well, it might be 6 weeks away. But, you know, that's 2 months' work, not 4 months' work. So that's why it's hard for me to understand. And a similar reasoning applies. That's essentially, all right, allowing a bit of time for Christmas, but it's basically 8 months to have a look at half a dozen sites. I just cannot understand it. Ms. Dixon, can you help me out there?
Through the report, so I suppose the timelines are recognising that some will be straightforward, some may require further matters to be worked through with clubs as well. So what we've done in putting these timeframes here is given the end date, we can keep members updated, ward members, as we book in that time with clubs and give that progress through ward briefings to keep members there. What we would be aiming in that work as well, if there's significant costs as well, that comes to council in terms of your budget planning as well. So there's not an intention not to keep members updated between now and February. The same with the open access community courts.
Okay, we better get on with the business. Councillor Telfer.
My question is about open access. If the this council is committed to open access of club courts to the community, is the council then prepared to underwrite the cost of damage, vandalism, graffiti, etc., made possible by the courts being open?
Well, of course, that's literally a question that only elected members can answer, but I'll ask the staff about the cost implications of maintaining courts and the possible risk of increased vandalism if they're available permanently to the community.
Through the chair, so currently council has $100,000 in the budget in terms of community access courts, but the what this body of work will do is identify that. So we'll do individual site assessments of those community access courts, and that's what will be brought back to council as well in terms of estimated, if there's estimated increased costs, that will be brought back for council's consideration along with SEPTEB issues and how we would mitigate them.
Looking for someone to move. Councillor Westwood.
Did you
want to ask a question? Please ask a question.
Yes, I was just wondering if that question had been answered. I thought Councillor Telfer was asking more about council assisting the clubs in any potential damage to their courts that they have paid to have to prepare them for competition and that kind of thing.
No, she wasn't asking about that.
Well, I would like to place that as a question, because that would be of interest to clubs. If we are insisting that courts are open to the public, if they have been prepared by clubs, I think we should be prepared to underwrite any damage that may occur to them from public use. Is that the point of view that's envisaged by staff?
Oh, okay. So that was actually the question that Ms. Dixon answered. That was about money being available in the budget, should council wish to spend it, on repairing damage to community access courts, should that damage eventuate.
Yes. And the answer was?
Well, the answer is that there's money there. It's up to council if we wish to spend it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Blisker.
Your Worship. Okay. Amendment, and that is basically to change item 3. I actually don't have the amendment with me, but basically it should say words to the effect that it doesn't actually specify an option, but looks at just discussing open courts and the arrangement we want to use. I don't want us to be prescriptive yet as far as what option we are wanting to consider as far as open courts go, because I think we'll find out through our discussion what suits the clubs. And whilst the type of access, not necessarily the number of courts suggested, for option 3 sounds easier, I don't think we would allay any concerns about council impacting on tennis clubs if we actually had a prescribed option. So that's all I've put on there. I think we need to keep our discussions going with the clubs. I think we need to be methodical in how we approach it. I would encourage elected members that have knowledge about clubs in the council area to provide that to the appropriate staff that those considerations have made. I'd also like us to get a list of dates as far as what can be done sooner. What are the low-hanging fruit as far as sites go? I'm under the impression, I think like possibly a few other people, that there are options we can consider earlier. But I'd also like to know what other limitations are. So, for example, sometimes some of the clubs may not be available due to the seasons. although I suspect summer should be favourable in that respect. So we may not be able to get some of those responses as quickly as you want, but I want that outlined. I don't want it to come as a surprise. And I want this to happen as quickly as possible, but I think it's important that we do it right. So I'm happy for us to take a little bit more time to do it right, to allay those concerns. I also want us to have discussions with, once we have something in concrete or clearer, to speak to some of the other bodies apart from tennis estates, so maybe Glenelg districts, places like that. So that's all I have. I'd like to thank all the elected members who've participated in this. And I actually see this as a positive, because I think we're actually going to be able to harness some of the, see what the clubs want, the larger clubs as well, that they may be able to access some of the money from the partnerships funding. So I actually think this is an opportunity for some of that local club development. And I know we've got some good staff working with some of the clubs now, and I'm hoping to expand that. Thank you.
Councillor Valescu, just checking that you're happy. Members of the public, there's no need to be alarmed when that happens. Are you happy with that paragraph 3, that motion 3 there? That's to carry your expressed intention there. Mm-hmm. And you're happy with the time frames? Oh, sure. Now, before we go on, I will look for a seconder, but Councillor Gard wants to ask a question.
Just briefly, the paper is actually about netball and tennis. Could, through the chair, management give a brief synopsis on the netball position as affected by the 7 recommendations? Because there's mention clearly in recommendation number 6 of several netball sites, but I'm just a little grey as to how much the overall motion governs netball and as opposed to tennis, which is obviously the lion's share in any case, as we're aware.
Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, so I'm just working through some of the things. The Clow Valley Park, which is underway now, is going towards increasing the netball court. So I think that is increasing by the multi-purpose courts. I think that increases netball courts from memory to 5. Yep. So to 5. Terms of
Councillor Gard, was your question about the numbers of courts or the response from Netball SA?
It's really more about where we are planning to go. At the moment, we've got a good summary of 98 courts comprising tennis, 86 netball facilities, 12 of the 86 tennis courts, 59 that are associated with. We're talking about the movement on the as far as tennis courts goes, but it doesn't, to me, cover the implications for netball quantitatively.
Right.
Through the chair, so there has been discussions with Netball SA as well in terms of increasing the netball courts. I can detail the specific courts through an email outside this meeting to give you that, but there has been work in identifying those opportunities. Some of that is subject to talking with the clubs at different sites as well, but that has been progressed at the same time.
That would be very helpful, because we know in our very early planning
Councillor
days...
Councillor Gard, so is this a question or you want to comment in the debate?
Well, just a comment on that.
Not the time. We really need to get on with having a seconder.
Yep.
Is there a seconder?
Question.
Okay, question time continues.
Would the mover be prepared to consider the date of the earlier date of the 28th of February in the motion 4 and the 30th of December in Motion 5.
Oh, sorry, it's really out of order as a question because the mover, I mean, I did check that with the mover. He doesn't want to do that.
I did say I was amenable to change. My main concern was just the three, option three. So if people did want to do that, I'm open to consider it. So.
Well, it hasn't been seconded. So do you want to... Did you catch what Councillor Telfer said?
I'm suggesting motion for the 28th of February rather than the 30th of June and the 30th of December rather than the 28th of February as in the papers.
I'm happy to accept it. Whilst personally, yeah, I'm happy to accept that.
So after four, it needs and reports back to council by the 28th of February, and the same wording, but for number five, the 30th of December, 2016. Sorry, I said the 30th of December.
Staff are just pointing out to me that the meeting prior to 30th of December would be the meeting on the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Leave was granted. That's the motion. Now I'm looking for a seconder, Councillor Hull.
I'm happy to second this, Mr. Mayor. Look, there's a parallel with this with play space. This is all about having more quality rather than quantity, and with another dimension of actually catering for a neglected gender sport issue being the netball. There might be men that play, I must take that back, there might be men that play netball, I will concede that, but it has been identified as a deficit. Maybe Councillor Gard plays it, I'm not sure. Goal defence. I think that, you know, there's, you know, for media purposes, I think it's important because we've copped a caning in the past about, you know, the attack on tennis. There's more to this than just tennis. It's actually increasing the... And Councillor Gard's line of questioning is quite appropriate because there's more to this than addressing the quality of the tennis and consolidating the tennis. Now, in my ward alone, if I can go back to my ward again, where Nathan and I were acknowledging that there's two tennis courts that may well close and will be consolidated at one tennis court that was lucky enough to pick up $260,000 from the last federal election, which we should be embracing and evaluating. We'll get to that. So, you know, this is good for tennis. This should be good for netball. And I urge you to support this motion. Sure, it's been messy along the way. Councillor Valescu and I were on the last council. It's been a little bit agonising to see how it's all unravelled. But we've got new people in the property department, and I think that will help a long way to actually take us forward with this project.
Yeah, that's probably why not. Anyway, before we go on, just one tiny question, Ms. Dixon. On page 110, talking about sites for further investigation, the Woodford Family Reserve, there's a reference there to the user group being the South Park Home Tennis Club. Now, I was under the impression they're no longer lessees. To see the name there?
That is correct. Yep, that is an incorrect.
Okay.
Yep.
It doesn't affect the recommendations, but it just needed to be clarified. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. and some very good points are made in the debate. Thank you. On to page 118. Just a reminder, folks, that this is an amendment of a resolution. Essentially, we were prepared to put a certain amount of money toward court resurfacing and floodlights for Cleverly Park. The funding partners have changed, but the amount being asked of us is the same. So, really, it's very straightforward. Councillor Pfeiffer's back in the room.
Move as written.
To move that motion. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. Did either of you wish to speak? Is there anyone opposing the motion? Then I'll put the motion. Sorry. It is about the Netball Club. A question.
I've raised this before with a sporting facility. The notion of using outdated technologies when we are beating our chests about being climate change aware and all this is abhorrent. Why don't we actually, as a council, chip in the extra money so the club can put in modern technology, being LED lighting, that's more efficient, and will actually save money in the long run?
Councillor Hull, I understand the point you're making. I understand that you, well, I recall that you made this very point when the matter first was debated, and council has resolved to proceed in the way that you see in the agenda tonight. So you've raised a question, why don't we? But the answer is it's been considered and resolved the last time this particular case was before the council. So if you want to do something else, you're at liberty to take part in the debate.
Different club.
But as a question, I think that's the only answer.
Well, Mr. Mayor, respectfully, it was a different sporting club. It was a different sport.
Ah, well, I stand corrected. Perhaps Ms. Dixon can help with that.
No, through the Chair, at the 14th of June meeting, Council did debate whether to have halide or LED lighting and resolved to go with the halide.
No. So that's a volley back at you, Councillor Hunt. If there's no further debate, I'll put the motion. No, I'll have someone to close the debate, the mover to close the debate, even though there's been no debate. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I just wanted to clarify this one. Yes, there was debate at that meeting in June as to whether we were going to go for a metal halide or a LED option. The metal halide was cheaper by an order of magnitude. In the back of my head, I remember about 30 grand from recollection. And the other clincher for this is that style of lighting was more suitable to the actual sport that was being played. And since it's only on for a couple of hours, a couple of times a week, the actual carbon emission associated with it and the difference is pretty small. As I recall from the report back in June, now I haven't gone back and reread that report, but that was my recollection.
I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by a majority. Thank you. We now turn to page 119, the Finance and Audit Committee annual report to us. I'll just initially take any questions, if there are any. Then I'll look for someone to move. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak to that, Councillor Telfer?
No, we have had a good year as a council. We have been well guided and we are financially very stable in spite of all the planning and dreaming that we've had. And we look forward to the surplus, which is higher than we maybe would have liked it to be. It's 12%, which is over our 5% aim. We would hope that this is going to be well reused into our infrastructure and resources.
Thank you. Then looking for a seconder, Councillor Garr. Comment under the circumstances, Councillor Hull. Thank you, Councillor Telfer. As I look at it, given that there's no feedback as such, we really only need paragraph one of the motion. I thought that might come out of debate, but if there isn't any specific feedback,
as the mover, I could withdraw number two if the second is happier with that.
Yes. Is leave granted? No objection. So leave is granted. So the motion will just read with the current paragraph one. I'll let staff tidy that up. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Right. On to page 126, the annual corporate performance report. We note, I'll ask Mr. Mifsud to explain. He did send an email around earlier suggesting one of the figures needed to be updated or corrected, so I'll let him explain before we commence. Thank you.
Thank you, through the Chair. Yes, I sent an email through to members earlier today just explaining that we'd received some further data updating the LTIFR figure that's quoted both in this report and also the annual report. It has gone up slightly. There was a bit of a procedural hiccup administratively. It's a lag indicator, but we should have had the information prior to this, so I apologise for that, and both reports will be updated and amended accordingly.
Thank you. I've got a comment and a question, but did you have a question, Councillor Hull?
In terms of the lost time injury matter, which is should be obviously moving in interest to us elected members, does the administration have employed a specialist staff member with the appropriate skill sets to deal with this particular subject?
Mr. Scott?
Through you, Chair, thank you. Yes, we do, Councillor. We're working very hard on this. It's not only the operations general manager who got it as a key focus since he's been with us, but also he's been ably supported by our team in workplace health and safety. It's a real concern and a top priority.
Just going to make a comment in terms of drafting the report. So I'm just hoping staff can take it on board for next time. Not really going to make a fuss about it, but one talks of the council's performance, not the KPI's performance. So if you look on page 127, we don't say the KPI gained momentum or the KPI achieved something. We say what happened to the KPI and therefore council achieved or didn't achieve. So it's just a matter of getting the subject of the sentence right. The question I had, probably a bit more potent, on page 129, when we talk about the operating surplus ratio, and the fact that we've basically taken $10 million from ratepayers more than what we've spent. In the previous report, we had explanations for about half of that, but the explanation that's not printed either in the Audit Committee report or this one is the carryover in respect of capital works, so which I've ascertained is about $3.5 million. So at the beginning of the financial year we said we want to do all of these jobs, we budget for them, And at the end of the year, we find that there's $3.5 million or whatever the figure is that we haven't spent. So that is part of that operating surplus. And one of the challenges for us as council is to get management and the whole administration to carry out the work they say they're going to do at the beginning of the financial year. You never do it all. There are always problems. We understand that. You hit a drain and, you know, you hit granite before you get to the drain or something. There's always a problem. But it's part of that operating surplus. So when the report says this surplus is required to prove the funding necessary, to provide the funding necessary to meet the costs of delivering services and projects to the community, including the renewal and upgrade of existing community assets over time to maintain community service standards and expectations. Question for Mr. Mifsud, does that tell the full story?
Mayor Hannah, excellent question. I think the first thing is to provide to members some clarity. The operating surplus enables council to fund the two key core parts of our business. Firstly, we've got our operational services that we deliver to our community, and secondly, we have our capital works programs. So I think it's really important to remember and to highlight that the operating surplus does not include any of our capital funding whatsoever. The operating surplus enables funding sufficiently so that we can actually fund or have the cash flow, in other words, to pay for our capital works. So one of the council's key financial assumptions is that our primary focus has to be on cash flow, and the reason why it has to be on cash flow is whilst the operating surplus is an important financial indicator for any organisation, whether it be local government or a listed company, cash flow is king, and without cash we can't fund any of our capital works. So I just want to just highlight and reiterate for members that the operating surplus does not include any of our funding for our capital works. That's funded separately, so we need a sufficient operating surplus to be able to fund all the capital works.
Right. Well, thank you for the clarification. I think Mr. Mifsud is very politely saying that the Mayor is wrong. But what happens then when there's a carryover of that $3.5 million? Where does that appear in the books, Mr. Mifsud?
Yep. Thank you. Once again, a very good question. So as part of the first budget review process, which is coming up, scheduled for the end of October, there will be a full reconciliation of the statutory accounts, which is the results that Council are looking at endorsing tonight, compared back to the original budget that was adopted for 2015-16. So that level of detail will be provided to members at that point in time, which will identify exactly what savings have been achieved compared to what we budgeted. And in addition, it'll also provide members with the details as to specifically what's being carried over into the next financial year.
Mr. Mayor, I'm a bit concerned about what I've just heard. When I started...
Sorry, we haven't had someone move the motion yet, so...
Well, I'll move the motion and ask some questions. There's not much we can do about the report. It is what it is.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, when I first got elected on this council, the aldermen, there was three of them, drove into me as a fledgling councillor, you need to keep track, and I've mentioned this before over the years, you need to keep a track of the potential for our budget not being fulfilled. In other words, the carryovers. And never did I have in those early years this sort of money that was not spent on carryovers. Now I'm starting to get concerned that we've actually got a pattern of behaviour that the unspent monies is actually possibly helping to fund debt repayments and maybe embellish that side of things. Now, if that's the engineering that's going on, that's not what we want. What we want is to have a budget and assign the staff to carry out a budget, expend the money, get it done. If there's shortfalls in funding things, that's our problem. So, you know, I'm a bit concerned with reading between the lines here. And this has happened. How many years now has this happened? In fact, one year it was $7 million, is that right, Mr. Mayor? Totally unacceptable. Now, if you haven't got the resources in-house, get it from outside. If you strike granite, go and get a diamond cutter, but spend the money and get the job done. You know, like, I'm really concerned about this. I have been for a while. You all know that. And I'm starting to get more concerned with reading between the lines about what could be some financial engineering within the administration to actually make things look better in terms of paying off maybe the debt for that Cove library. Well, that's not what we asked you to do.
I will. I do note that we've paid, I think, a couple of million dollars extra off of debt. So, and we did ask staff to do that. So some of the money's gone there. But Mr. Mifsud, I invite you to comment.
Thank you, through the Chair. I think, Councillor Howell, you raise a number of very good points. I want to first assure you and the elected members there's no accounting engineering here whatsoever. I certainly acknowledge that maybe the level of clarity that I'm trying to provide to members hasn't come across as clearly as it possibly could have. What I'm trying to highlight is that the operating surplus is for the operational costs of the community and council. That in itself is the first component, okay? And the second component is we've got to fund our capital works. So this surplus is not taking extra money out of the community necessarily. The fact is that we've got an operating surplus that was audited of just under $10 million, and we spent $18.6 million on capital works. So that has to be funded from somewhere. So if you recall, when we look at our long-term financial planning, we endeavour as best as possible, and there's always room for improvement, to keep focusing and coming back to cash flow. And the reason being is cash flow pays for everything. So cash flow pays for our operating services that we deliver to the community, as well as our capital works programs as well. So I just want to reassure you that there's certainly no accounting engineering occurring whatsoever.
I'd just like to ask Mr. Scull to add anything if he sees fit.
Thank you, Chair. I think we're all getting a little bit confused about this. The key issue for me on this is that our operating surplus target is between 0 and 6%. And our current operating surplus is 12%. We are actually saving more than our target requires, and I think Council needs to look at this at some point in the future. I do note, though, that we've got some funding commitments that potentially will chew up a lot of the surplus that we've got. There's $4 million for Edwardstown, and potentially $8, $9 million for Mitchell Park, should we get the funding.
Questions? So let's keep going with questions before we get a seconder. Councillor Blescu, or are you seconding?
I think people are really unclear on this, because I've just heard a councillor say there's two different things. We need to be clear on this, because then we can actually make the assessment and analyse whether there's more information required, where everything's okay, or where something might be awry, as the councillor alluded, he feels may have been the case, possibly. So can we clarify that, Your Worship? Can we actually clarify exactly what this 12% is?
All right, back to Mr. Mifsud for some more clarification.
Thank you, through the Chair. The 12% is the operating surplus ratio.
To someone who hasn't studied accounting, what does that mean? Like, explain it. I think we need the explanation in the basic terms, because
where does the money come from, and why is it more than 100%?
The money predominantly comes from rate revenue, as we all know. Marion's no different to any other council. Most of our revenue comes from rates. In fact, in the current year, it's in the order of 85%.
Clarify. Okay, so we've got a certain amount of money, and we've spent 88% of that to deliver on our commitments. So without knowing it, or knowing it, we've collected an extra 12%. Was that what's happened?
I'll try and provide some further clarity. The operating surplus is showing that our operational results, so repairs, maintenance, general expenditure, operating expenditure. It does not include the money we have to spend on all our capital works, whether they be renewing our existing infrastructure, which is significant. We have more than $1.1 billion in existing infrastructure in our accounts. And in addition, it does not include the funding that's required for any new assets. So, for example, Council's gone through a substantial strategic aspirational process of late where we've endorsed Edwardstown, we've endorsed Mitchell Park and various other capital works. They have to be funded as well. And the funding for any of those capital works is not included as part of the operating result. That funding requirement's over and above the operating result.
Any other questions? Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just a quick one. Does that mean that 12% of the works required for the last calendar year were not done?
No, through the chair, that it doesn't. Councillor Hull's point about carryovers is absolutely spot on. It's certainly something that, as an organisation, we need to continue to improve on what we do in that area. There's no denying that. But no, that 12% is the operating surplus ratio. It doesn't represent what capital works weren't completed by the end of the financial year.
Okay, Councillor Westbrook.
I'll just make a comment rather than a question, because otherwise it'll take longer with a question. But my main concern is that we should have a minimum carryover of money that should have been spent on particular projects, whether they're capital works or some other project. So that's what I'm particularly interested in, that we, in the last 6 months of the financial year, I would prefer that staff get together, probably including the CEO, I guess, and identify what might not be spent by the end of that financial year on projects that could be or would be expected to be achieved by the end of the financial year. And then if our staff can't manage to do that, then we start to hire contractors, etc., as much as we can to complete the tasks that Council has committed itself to.
Perhaps to help you, could I suggest, Mr. Scull, that we have a forum briefing early next year on the carryover question so we can explore that? I think that would answer that particular concern. Thank you. Councillor Gard, a question?
Yes, a request, I suppose, more. I'm wondering if it would be possible for Finance to report to Audit and Efficiency at the appropriate time, and I guess that might be early in the calendar year, on these variances, particularly given that there is an increase to 12%, which is pretty high. And that then come back from Finance and Audit, and I may not be on that committee, so I'm speaking objectively here, that it would come back from Finance and Audit and highlighted in the process of setting budgets for the next financial year. Because if there has, for example, been miscalculation, wouldn't it not be best to determine why and where, and therefore what implications that has on budget decisions made for the new year coming?
All right, can I just ask staff to take that on board? No need to respond immediately. Do I have a seconder to note the report? Councillor Westwood, any further comment? So Councillor Blescu.
Dense knowledge and probably expect us to know a lot more than perhaps it becomes clear. So can we actually have this all explained so it's all easy? Because it can appear to be different things to different people in the reading of the report. So I think that's important.
Mr. Scull?
Thank you, Chair. Could I suggest that we get to you a simple explanation about what operating surplus means and what carryovers mean? When you're running a business, you have a deficit or a surplus. It means that you actually either spend more than you've got or you retain more than you've got. And what's happening in this council is that we've got targets for a surplus between 0 and 3% being exceptional, but we are blowing that out of the water because of the money that we're not spending, which are operational savings mainly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mifsud, but the operational savings are reflected in the surplus. And so council is in a very healthy financial position, but our goal is to have between 0 and 6% is target met, and we are doubling that. But we'll get a simpler explanation, I think.
Oh, no, well, actually, so order. What I'd suggest is that something in writing probably would not be helpful, because we've actually got several reports tonight that are meant to explain this. It's not happening. So I think we need a forum briefing on it to talk through the principles, but using the figures as real-life examples at the same time. So we'll organise that when convenient. Now, we've had it moved and seconded. Is there a short contribution to be made? Oh, yeah, if need be. Yeah, go ahead. Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, I see that there's three different issues here. One is the fact that many of our budget works programs are not being carried through. They're not being realised. There is some savings as identified, and that seems to be muddying the waters a bit. And there's also the fact that we've got projects like Edgartown and all that, which should be funded from our strategies that we've given direction to the administration about, in the same way as we've given direction in terms of what we want to achieve in the budget for works. Okay? I'd like to see the waters unmuddied, and maybe the audit committee could actually help us with that. Okay? Because I'd like to know, if there are savings, where are they coming from? If there's savings by virtue of the fact, well, we're not going to do that drainage project in Glengowrie, that's not a saving, that's actually a reduction in services. And I'd like to get to the bottom of this, and if the audit committee can help, that would be good. But there's no two ways about it. We've got a significant issue here when there's millions and millions of dollars not being expended in the budget that we expect to be expended. And you know, I'd like to know in a percentage terms, what are the savings? If you're saving money because you're using a different contractor and you're saving a quid that way, well, that's great, and there should be more of that. But I'd like to see a breakdown of that, what we're really dealing with. And once again, if any of the members on the audit committee can actually extract that, Councillor Pfeiffer, that would be great.
Some out-of-date information there, but all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We now go to the similarly enlightening annual financial statements for the year, page 139. I'm not going to try and summarise them. Councillor Telfer?
I'll move as per the recommendation, and then I'd like to speak to that.
Sure, it'll be seconded, so please go ahead.
I consider page 139 an important piece of writing. It says in the executive summary that we have an operating surplus of 9.8 million, which is achieved by explanation going ahead there. And it also talks about savings on expenditure, which also assist. Having done that and got this money as shown, it says next steps, it talks there about the carryovers, the fact that we had 15 million in carryovers, and we've now got our list of play spaces and other places that we've intended to spend money on down to 10 million. We've still got work that needs to be done in a timely way. If we can't do it on time, we shouldn't plan for it to be on time. But it's about how we've planned to do the work and we haven't got it done. But in the end of the day, we can be proud of the fact that we now have $9 million this year that we can pick up and put $4 million of that towards Edwardstown. We can put the $500,000 to the streetscape. We can put the money into all the tennis facilities. That is done after the operating surplus. So we are pleased, and we'll be very pleased, when we allocate that money and we have the final balance sheet, because we will then clearly know that we have got to do the things that we came to do in these 4 years of being on council.
That seconded. Councillor Crossland. No contribution
required. No, thank you.
Anyone speaking against the motion?
So, Ken, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
What Councillor Telford said just epitomises my concerns. It absolutely epitomises my concerns that we're not in control, members. I'm talking, and he can't do that.
Councillor Vleska, did you have a point of order? No, you can't do that. Councillor Hull's speaking. You didn't have the call. You can't just interrupt like that. No, there's no point of order. There's no point of order. So, Councillor Hull, please carry on.
Mr. Mayor, we're not in control. That's the feeling I'm starting to get. That, you know, I've allowed the administration their time. We've actually told them we're not happy with the situation. Actually, the situation's worse than I first thought. It's $15 million. What did I say? Seven. It's $15 million the year before last.
Not 15.
Now it's $10 million. We think that's good because. And what? Think about this, members. What part of the budget didn't get done that you thought was being done or you wanted to be done? Who made the decision not to do that particular part of the budget because they might want to fund Edwardstown? Who made that decision? We didn't make that decision. And as I said before, we have our planning strategies for Edwardstown and all the other major projects. So don't try and cherry pick the budget and try and this has been done before. I knew it was done with the State Aquatic Centre. It was pretty much the debt was repaid out of operational savings. Now, you know, I'm not quite sure what happened back then, but I'm starting to realise what's happening now, and it doesn't rest well with me because, as a board member, I don't feel I'm in control of the budget of this council.
Any other speakers? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you. On to page 308. Now, this is better news. The investment performance has been quite good. Someone like to move? Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Pryor. Any other contributions? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. The annual report, it's just only one point I wanted to highlight. Seconded Councillor Byram. Any comment or debate? All those in favour, raise your hand.
Sorry, there's just the word subject to the following amendments that are probably not relevant. In number one, I'll just bring them to the...
That was moved without the last line. Without the last line, subject to the following amendments. That's right. All those in favour, raise your hand. I'll take a question without notice. Councillor Hutchinson?
Oh, look, it was just something I could follow up after the meeting, but I noticed under parking management the number of expiations issued. I wanted to know what benchmarking we've done with other councils compared to where we're placed in that space, because that does seem a bit low.
Mr. Skoll, can you get a report emailed out to councillors?
Yes, Chair, I'll get that. I can't ask off the top of my head.
All right, we'll move on. Bearing in mind we were hoping to finish it, this meeting at 8:30. So, page 382, we do need to deal with this. On this one, we will be having a vote. Speak about it. We didn't have a vote on it, so on the... Yes, we did. We did. No, I did the question as a question without notice after the vote. Didn't you vote?
No.
Oh, all right. All those in favour, raise your hand. You'll have to listen to the tape. I was pretty quick about it. Page 382. Now, various people are going for election to the Local Government Finance Authority Board. We, at the last meeting, we asked for the candidates to respond to an inquiry as to what they thought of the anti-Marion motion being moved by Mitchum at the LGFA Annual General Meeting. Five responses were received, and I think it's worth highlighting those responses. So in terms of the... And then we'll vote by secret ballot, as is the custom. Page 393, you'll see that's where the responses commence. So I note that Colin Davies has offered the view that the motion is ultra vires, so he gets a tick for that. Over the page, Councillor John Woodward is agreeable, although it's not that clear that he sort of understands the context. Councillor John Sanderson is at Mitcham, so understandably he writes back quite provocatively, suggesting that if you're a non-member of the LGA, you shouldn't have the benefits of the LGFA, which is a totally separate organisation. I'll get to it. Annette Martin says she would be cautious in supporting such a motion, so gets a half a tick for that, I guess. Hussam Abiad, I note that he says that the LGFA should be available to service the needs of all councils. Tick. If elected, I will always advocate for local governments, members or non-members of the LGA. Big tick. That's just the mayor's highlighting of various passages. And I noticed that Councillor Frogley and Councillor Rabbit didn't reply, so you read into that what you will, whether you... Now, you need two, so you've got your voting slips. So the method of voting is to put a one and a two in the places you want. Beg your pardon? Minimum of two. While the counting is taking place by preferential voting, I note that our governance staff are attending to that. With the leave of the meeting, I'll just go on to deal with as much of the remaining material as we can while that's occurring. Do I have leave of the meeting? No objections. Therefore, on page 398, I note the question from Councillor Hutchinson regarding the elected member room. And use of the telephone, etc. There is a motion regarding a destination play space. it's a bit difficult to actually get into motions, isn't it? Because it depends how long we're going to take. This isn't going to be a short one, is it? What else have we got? Roundhouse. That's good. Okay. None of them are really short items, unfortunately. Is that going to be too messy for governance? I'm advised it's not going to take that long, so we might as well just wait. Councillor Valesco?
Yeah, look, I'd just like to apologise to Councillor Hull. I wasn't...
Personal explanation?
Yeah.
Is leave granted? Yes.
Yeah, cool. In regards to the formal motion, I shouldn't have actually interrupted Councillor Hull speaking. I was under the impression that may have occurred in the past. So in reading the regs, further to what you said, to clarify my own mind. So you just want that noted.
Your personal explanation with leave of the meetings noted in the minutes. I mean, some content should be provided. So what if we say Councillor Valesco apologised to Councillor Hull for interrupting? No? Not
that
much.
It's more about raising the formal motion while someone was speaking.
Okay, sorry. Councillor Valesco apologised. No, just apologised for raising a formal motion while someone else had the call. Is that no? What about at an inappropriate time? More better, yes, sir. At an inappropriate time.
Given we're time poor tonight, is this really necessary?
It's a good filler, gotta say that. Members, the result, the counting of the ballot has returned the following two names, Colin Davies and Annette Martin. So Ms. Thwaites of the governance team assures me they are the results of the preferential count. So that's the motion before you, folks. Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, members, we said that this meeting would end at 8:30. We have an important forum because we need to discuss hard waste options. I don't want to be peremptory, but I propose to declare the meeting closed unless a majority of you really want me to continue it, but as I say, we have to deal with this hard rubbish question sometime. Yes, Councillor Hull?
In terms of matters that have been rolled over from meeting to meeting, what is the record for that? And given that some items have been rolled over from meeting to meeting, is there any way that we can actually ensure that they are higher up the agenda in order to be dealt with appropriately?
We can always... it's in the power of the meeting to vary the agenda. So, for example, when matters... I'll ask Ms. Thwaites to correct me if I'm wrong, but when matters aren't dealt with, they sort of sit in their normal place. But if they're started and adjourned, they go to the beginning of the reports. So one option for us is for those three remaining items, we could ask for them to be adjourned en bloc to the next meeting. There's a confidential one. And for all of those to... I guess automatically they would come to the beginning of the agenda. And that's actually by regulation, isn't it? It's not just our choice. So, question from Councillor Byron?
Thank you, Worship. I just had a question as to whether any of the public in the gallery were here to see one of those items tonight.
I reckon there are a few interested in Oakland's Park Reserve and the Roundhouse. both. But both of those, I would say, are lengthy discussions, on the other hand. So that's the balancing act. I beg your pardon? That's right. Well, look, it's a dilemma. We just have too much to deal with, but we do need to have that briefing time on hard rubbish. So, Councillor Crossland?
I'd like to move your offer of moving those motions and adjourning them so that they will come to the next meeting first up.
So we'll test that. So moved on block that they be adjourned to the next meeting. The four items.
All four
That's
items.
That's including the confidential
yes.
report. All remaining items, bearing in mind that we noted the question while you were counting. Seconded Councillor Westwood. Councillor Blesku?
And just move the non-confidential items come first, just out of expediency for the next meeting, so we don't have to kick everybody out and then bring them back in again. I think that would be... It's not urgent...
Well, you know, we've discussed this informally, that it actually isn't a bad idea to get some of the more weighty motions out of the way at the beginning of the meeting. So I just put, you know, if we've got a motion moved and seconded, I think let's keep to that. But if you want to amend, you'll move to amend to extract the confidential item and have that dealt with at the... Well, the thing is, you're really... deleting that item from the motion so that it only deals with the other three motions. The effect of that would be, because the confidential item not being reached, it will just go on, pop on at the end of next meeting rather than at the beginning. So that's the amendment. Is the amendment seconded? It may lapse for want of a seconder. You withdraw it. Then we have the motion. I think I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, that's all those against, that's carried by majority. So we'll deal with all those remaining items of business at the beginning of the next meeting. So thanks for your patience on that, and therefore I declare the meeting closed at 8:40.